On Daf Lamed Omid Beis, the third of the wide lines, Lema Kehani Tanoi, we're still addressing the machlokas between Rav and Zairi. We're almost ready to finish that up. As far as the knas that was imposed on those who spread out with dangerous takolos and rishus harabim, and anyone coming along can acquire ownership, it's hefker, over these objects that were left illegally in Rishus HaRabim. Rav is of the opinion that the object itself, even Gufo, is Hefker, whereas Zairi is of the opinion that only the increment, the Shevach, is Hefker. And now we have a Machlokes that's recorded in a Braisa, Hamotzi Tivno Vikasha Lushusaram Lizvolim. A person puts his straw out in the public domain with the intention of people and animals coming by and pouncing upon them, and that makes it worthy to serve as fertilizer. But they're also dangerous and they could damage people going through the Rishusarabim. Vahuzak Bahem Acher, somebody was damaged, Chayav bin Nizko. You have to pay damages. V'chalakodim b'hem zocha, and anyone can take the teven or the cash and acquire it for himself. It's hefker, and that's the knas that we discussed. V'asurim mishum gezel, according to the Tanakama, there's a prohibition of gezel. And that's going to be a problem. Why is there a prohibition of gezel if it's hefker? But first, we'll see Reb Shim ben Gamliel. Kol ha-makalkalin b'rishus harabim v'iziku chayovim l'shalem. Anything that was left, any takola, was left in rishus harabim and damaged, you have to pay the damages. V'kol ha-kodem b'hem zocha umutarim mishum gezel. Anyone has the right to acquire ownership, take it for himself, put it in his basket and take it home. And there is no Issa Gezel. Now we go back to the Reisha. Ha Gufa Kasha. There seems to be an inner contradiction in this Braisa. Amrit, you just told me, Kol HaKodim Bem Zocha, V'Hadar Komer, and then you go back and you tell me, Asur Mishum Gezel, if it's Hefker, why should it be Asur Mishum Gezel? El Olav, we have to reinterpret this Tanakhava, and then appreciate and understand the Machlokas between the Tanakhava and Reb Shimon Gamliel. Hachikomer. This is what the Tanakama means when he says Kol HaKodem Bem Zocha B'Shvacham Vasur Mishum Gezel Agufan. The Tanakama reflects the sheet of Zairi. When the Rabbanan established this Knas, they were mafkir only the Shvach, only the increment, but the Guf, the original Keren, the value of the Kash and the Teven, that's still remains in the ownership of the original Bailim, and it's Asur Mishum Gezel. That's the sheet of the Tanakhama reflecting the sheet of Zeira. The Asur Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Meimer Reb Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Afilu Begufan, Gufa Nami Kol HaKodem Bem Zocha. The Hefka that the Chachamim introduced applies not just to the Shvach, but also to the Keren, and that's Mutar Mishum Gezel, even the Keren. And that is the Shita of Rav. The Gemara establishes the following comment. L'Zairi v'adei tanoihi, Zairi would have to admit that the machlokes between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim is a machlokes, is exactly this issue regarding the hafkas, bailus, the knas of Hefker, does it extend to include the Keren or not? And therefore Zairi could only reflect the Shita of the Tanakama. Clearly Reb Shimon Gamliel is to be identified with the Shita of Rav against Zairi. They were mafkir even the Keren. L'Rav mi levet tanoihi, would Rav be forced to admit that the Shita of the Tanakama is that the knas was limited to the shvach, as Zairi maintains, and therefore Rav would have to identify, would have to chum up here with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Gemara says no. Amal Charav de Kuli Alma Kansu Gufan Mishum Shvachan. Even the Tanakama agrees to my position that the Knas here was mafkir the entire chefetz, including the guf. V'hacha, what are they arguing about in this braisa b'halacha v'ein morin kein kamiflugi? There are certain halachas which, if you ask a rav for a horah, for a psak lamaisa, you won't get the heter even though it's mutter mikra din. In other words, applying it here, as far as this knas is concerned, which according to the law books, in pure abstract concept, allows anyone to come along and take the entire mazik, the entire object, even the goof, even the keren. Is it halacha umorin kein or halacha v'ein morin kein? The Tanakam is of the opinion that although this is the halacha, but if a person comes to ask you, as a mora ora, you tell them, asu mishum gezel. Don't allow him l'chatchila to take it. And that's where Rav Shim Gamliel argues, and he goes the step further, the full 9 yards, as we'd say, and he says, halacha umorin kein. We will tell an individual who asks this question that he's allowed to confiscate this and acquire this property, and applying the horah lamaisa, the heter, the license to acquire ownership on someone else's object, because that someone violated the Rishus HaRabim by placing a dangerous object in Rishus HaRabim. Ze'iri doesn't allow for such an interpretation. He thinks that the machlokes in this braisa between the Tanoim, the Tanakhama of Shim Gamliel, revolves around the basic fundamental question of Keren and Shvach. The Itmar. In fact, we have already transmitted such a machlokes regarding whether it's halacha umorin kein or not. And we record this machlokes as a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Ada bar Rava. Rav Huna Amar Rav halacha v'ein morin kein. Rav Ada bar Rava Amar halacha umorin kein. The Rush in Simon Zion paskins like Rav Huna in the name of Rav halacha v'ein morin kein. The Hagol Sashri says that's only as far as Gufan is concerned, ein morin kein. Linyan Shvachan, certainly morin kein. And that's why, according to Ze'iri, where the whole issue of the Knas only revolves around the Shvach, certainly it's going to be L'kuli Alma Halacha Umorin Kein. Tosas here, Divya Maskel, Ze'iri, also reflects the Shita that goes to Shri. And we're not going to assume that the Machlokas Tanakam of Shim Gabliel revolves around the Shvach, certainly in the case of the Shvach, Halacha Umorin Kein. Now, if you put all these Rishonim on one side, you've got the Nemuki Yosef on the other side. He insists that Halacha Vein Morin Kein applies both with regard to the Guf and with regard to the Shvach as well. The Gemara asks the following question. Now, is this really feasible? That according to Rav Huna, it's Halacha Vein Morin Kein? For Rav Huna, there was a case that came in front of Rav Huna and his Beis Din, and Afkir Chulshe, he took these Seorim, these barley kernels that were spread out in the Rishus HaRabim to dry them, and he said, Hefker, he told people in the Rabim, just take it away and acquire it for yourself. That's Halacha Umorin Kein. In another situation, Rav Adavar Ava, okay, that's a little bit more clear. Askir, and here we're looking on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, Salikusta, some sort of a psoles, some sort of a leftover sediments of dates. After you made a certain kind of beer from the dates, there were certain parts of the dates that were sediments, and a person took them out and left them in Rishus HaRabim, and Rav Ada Lishitase said they were hefker. Halachu Morin came. Bishleim Rav Adabar Ava Kishmaite. That makes sense. El Rav Huna Lema Hadarbe. Did he change his mind? And the Gemara answers Hanu Musrim Havu. Even Rav Hunu says halacha vein morin kain, there's a limit to that. There's a point after which the chachamim, even according to Rav Huna, will be morin kain and allow the public to acquire ownership on this object, on this mazik, and that's after asra. If the owner of this object was warned time and time again, then if he refuses to obey that warning and to remove his takola from the Rishus HaRabim, then even l'chatchila, his objects will be hefker. And now we begin the next Mishnah here on the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Until now, in the Mishnayis, in this perek, we've been dealing with a person who was damaged because he tripped on his friend's possessions. Mamono shel chaver. This Mishnah is going to address a case where a person is damaged by tripping over the body, the human body of another person. Shnei kadorim, these are people who sell pottery. Shoyu mahalchim zecher zeh, they were carrying their pots in the Rishus HaRabim, one behind the other. V'niskal harishon v'nofal, the first one fell onto the ground. V'niskal hasheni barishon, and the one behind him tripped over the one in front of him, and his kideros, his jugs, were smashed as a result of the fact that he tripped over the body of the Rishon. HaRishon chayev b'nizkei sheni. The Mishnah says that in this case, the body of a person, after he trips, is considered a bar, and he's chayev for the nizokin of the one who tripped over the bar. The Gemara is going to determine and establish various details of these cases. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo tema masdisin k'Rabbi Meir, we know, and we've established earlier that Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, di Omar niskal poshea, there's negligence when a person trips and falls, v'chayav, and therefore the first guy who fell and tripped has to pay for nizakin of the second guy. El afilu rabbanon, even according to the chachamim, the Amru claim Anusu, that a person trips because ain darkon shel bnei adam lizboni bedrachim. Nevertheless, even though he's potter as a universal rule of niskal hacha, here in this case chayav. Why? Rabbi Yochanan understands that even after a person falls and trips biones, nevertheless he's responsible to get up as soon as he can. Hoyelo lamod, he should have stood up. Velo Amad, if he doesn't do so, and he remains laying in the Rishus HaRabim, his body becomes a Takola Bar, and he's Chayef in Iske Bar. That's the Shita of Rav Yochanan. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak Omar, he disagrees. He says, Afilu Tema, even if you'll assume Lo Hoya Lo La'amod, let's say he didn't have enough time to stand up, nevertheless, he's still chayef. Why? Hayelo lahazir velo hizir. He should have yelled out to the person behind him to notify him and warn him about the fact that he is right now fallen. He has fallen on the ground. He doesn't even have time to get up. But his negligence is in the fact that he didn't warn the person behind him. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Why? Kevan delo hayelo lamod, since he didn't have enough time to stand up, it was so quick after he fell, lo hayolo lahazir detorid, he's so preoccupied, such, if you want to call it a state of shock almost, he just fell in the Rishus HaRabim, he hasn't cleared his thoughts, collected his thoughts in such a way that you can expect him to give a warning to the guy behind him. So if he didn't have enough time to get up, he didn't have enough time to warn the guy behind him. And that sheet of Rabbi Yochanan stands in sharp contrast with the previous sheet that we mentioned of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that even if a person just fell, he hasn't had a chance to clean himself up and straighten himself and stand on 2 feet, he must immediately, that's his obligation, notify the guy behind him and warn him that he's on the ground. And now the Gemara wants to prove the sheet of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak from the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah we'll get to on Amud Beis. Tanan, the Mishnah states that if two people are walking in Rishus HaRabim, One is carrying a barrel, and the other is walking with a horizontal korah. A korah is a beam. And what happened was, the beam of the person carrying it in back went smash into the barrel of the person up front and broke that barrel. The Mishnah establishes that if Hoya Bala Korah Rishon of Bala Chavis Achron, supposing we have the opposite case where the carrier of the beam was up front, the carrier of the Chavis, the Nizak, was behind him, Nishbara Chavis Bekora, Potter. The owner of the Kora doesn't have to pay damage. He's not held responsible for negligence because the one behind him carrying his Chavis has to be careful to make sure he doesn't smash into the Kora. But Vim Amad Bala Kora, if the fellow up front who's carrying his beam all of a sudden stops and the one behind him, the owner of the chavis, which now smashes into the korah and breaks his jug, his barrel, chayav, then the bala korah is a poshea. And the assumption is that when this person who stopped, that's the bala hakorah, he had rights to stop, and yet he's chayav for damages, this would reflect the shita of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, that he's got to warn the person behind him. My love, shouldn't we assume that the Bala Korah had every right to stop? Why? That's called Sha'amad Lekatef. Every individual who's carrying a heavy burden, and in this case a beam on his shoulders, has the legal right to stop and fix the burden on his shoulders. You know, sometimes it's too heavy on one side, or it's not well balanced, he shifts it to another side. That's called Omed Lekatef, Katef from the Lashon Ketefayim, the shoulders. The Urchehu. Urchehu means that's not considered negligence or pshia, that's the derech that people do it. And nevertheless, keep in mind, he has to pay damages for the breakage of the barrel of the chavis that came behind him. Uktani Chayav. Why? Where's the negligence here? The answer must be Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's principle, the Havi Leila Hazir. He should have warned the fellow behind him that he's about to stop dead in his tracks. And if he didn't do so, that's called a pshia. He stood, and although he was legally allowed to stand, but immediately he should have warned the fellow behind him who's carrying the chavis. And if you'll ask, well, wait a minute, he's tarud. Right now he's preoccupied with shifting the weight of his korah from one side shoulder to the other. Nevertheless, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says there's no ptur, there's no exemption of omed lekatef of tarud, because no matter what, even if you, in the standing position that you're in, you were okay, you were within your legal bounds, there was nothing, no violation in doing so, nevertheless, we're going to be mechayev of you because you didn't give a warning to the fellow behind you. Tosus here, Dira Masalu Ktani, again, it's a very important Tosus, very long Tosus that has to be studied. I just want to mention that he doesn't understand how the Gemara knows that the chiyuv here to pay damages and on the part of the Bala Korah is a result of the fact Shalo Hizir, that he didn't warn the guy behind him, the Bala Chavis. Because the Mishnah actually is talking about a case that the person who was carrying the beam was doing so, not the way we understood it in a horizontal way, but rather he was carrying it in the other direction, straight across the Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, he was creating a barrier that was completely closing up the Shusha Rabim, and no one could pass beyond it because the Korah went straight across the width of Shusha Rabim. That's why he's Chayef Pshia. And if that be the case, that has nothing to do with whether he warned the guy behind him or not. But Tosus claims in his answer that in a chinami, a person is allowed, even if he's carrying the beam in such a way across the width of Rosh Hashanah Rabim, he's allowed to stand lekatef, to move around, and In such a case, the only reason why there's an element of pshia is because he didn't notify the person behind him that he was stopping. The Gemara rejects this proof, this support from the Mishnah to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Lo, the Mishnah is not talking about a case where the Baal HaKor is responsible because he didn't give a warning, but rather he's responsible because he had no right to stop. That's called Kisha Amad Lof. A man decides that he wants to take a break. It's getting a little bit too heavy for him, this burden, and he needs a rest. Oh yeah, he's allowed to take a rest, but not in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. For that, they never gave him license and permission to do so. And this, of course, is reminiscent of the sugyas in Shabbos about carrying in Rosh Hashanah, and you have to carry Dalet Amos, and what happens in the middle of Dalet Amos? He takes a rest. If he takes a rest, Lekatev, then all four Amos, when he walks the second set, the last set of the four Amos, three and four, are considered unified as one unit with the first two Amos. But if he takes an Amidah Lofush, meaning he wants to rest, that is a complete breakage or an interruption between the first two Amos before he rested and the second two Amos after he rested. The Gemara tells us, with regard to glimos, with regard to kalim, that when a person walks through Rosh Hashanah, it's kidarko, it's accepted and normal practice for a person to take a rest and place his glimos, his clothing, down on Rosh Hashanah. And we have to differentiate between that sugya of placing your kalim or your clothes down in the Rosh Hashanah and the case of a korah. In the case of a korah, you don't have any right to stand in the middle of Rosh Hashanah and take a break, called omed lafush, and therefore you chay for pshia. If that be the case, this chiyuv and codified by the Mishnah has nothing whatsoever to do with Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak's principle of hoyolo. Hoyolo lahasros, hoyolo lahasi. The Gemara now goes back and clarifies. Well, wait a minute. If you're telling me he's chayev because he was omed lofush, then you're telling me aval omad lekatef my potur, then clearly we can infer that had he stopped in order to move the burden from one side of his shoulder to the other, he'd be potur. If that be the case, Adetani Seifa, Im Amar Lo Lebal Chavis Amod Potur, that if the Baal HaKorah notified the Baal HaChavis behind him to stand in his place, then he's Potur for the Nezek of the Chavis, because he warned him, is Liflog Velisni Bedida. Why do you have to stretch your arm out to the case where he warned him, he notified him? In an omeid lekatef, in an omeid lofush situation, you should have told me. Even if you're telling me, well, why didn't he give him a warning? But the answer is, Rabbi Yochanan says he's not responsible to give a warning. So why shouldn't the Mishnah, in contrasting the case where you're chayv and the case of your potter, why didn't the Mishnah stick to the Amidah, focus on the Amidah, and classify the Amidah under one of two categories? It was either an Amidah Lofush or an Amidah Lekatev. If it had been an Amidah Lekatev, then you're telling me he would be potter. So the Gemara answers, Hakamashmala, and the Mishnah really wanted to tell us a special chiddush. The fact that Omid Lekatev is potter, that's something I could understand. It's intuitively logical. But here's a chiddush. And what is it? The Afal Gav, the Omad Lofush, we would have thought that Amidah Lofush, which is illegal, that itself is an automatic absolute pshia with no strings attached and no possible exonerations and exemptions. And kikomer lebaal hachavis amod, even if he would tell the baal hachavis, stop dead in your tracks, that would not be okay. He's already done the pshia and he's chayev. Comes on the mission to tell me, potter, the chiddush is that you can exempt yourself even though you had no right to be omid lafush, by notifying the guy behind you immediately and shifting the blame and the responsibility from yourself to the person, the nizak, the owner of the chavis who's carrying his chavis. Hey, buddy, now you're in charge of watching yourself and your kelim. The Rush, you should know, is not excited about this answer of the Gemara. He thinks that's pashut. The Gemara didn't have to tell me this. The Mishnah didn't have to tell me that a person who's poshea b'amidas lofush, he can exonerate himself by warning the Baal HaChavis. That's upgrade. That's simple. There's no hava mina that he should be chayev. In any event, according to the Rush, he bases himself again on this Tosus for Uktani to tell us and establish the Chiddush here is the case of Amad Lafush Kishalda Lerochav HaDerech. We would have said that since he's Lerochav HaDerech, and as he's being Memala the Chotzer, with Kadi Yayin and Kadi Shemen, this is Sugya back on Daf Chav Ches, of Kim Levi the Rabbi, of Ovid Inishdini Lenafshe, that a person is allowed to break these Kalim in order to go into the chatzar, have access to go buy this milui of Kadesh Shemen and Kadesh Yayin, here, that he placed the Korah, Lerochav, for the width of Rishus HaRabim, in a way that no one could pass by. Therefore, anyone would have the right to come along and break the Korah. And that's called Ovid Inishdin Lenafshe. And if that be the case, then it's a reshus to the Baal HaChavis to break the Korah with his hands. And how much more so has he reshus to walk in the way that he wants to walk without paying any attention? And if his Chavis is damaged as a result, the Baal HaKorah would have to pay. And that's the Chiddush over here that the Mishnah wants to tell us, that more than a person has to be careful and watch himself that he shouldn't be damaged, there's a greater responsibility on the person who is damaging, the Baal HaKorah who stood. Now the Gemara says the following. Toshma, I have another braisa which can establish a proof for Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Hakadorim, the braisa speaks about those who sell jugs, vazagogim, those who sell glass utensils, shahoyu mahalchim, they're walking one behind the other in rishus harabim zecher ze, niskal harishon v'nofal, the one who's going first fell, he tripped and fell, v'niskal hasheni barishon, the second one banged into the first one, and then niskal hashlishi b'sheni, the third guy went into the sheni to the second guy. The Bryce establishes the following principles. Rishon chayev b'nizke sheni, sheni chayev b'nizke shlishi. In this domino theory, the first has to pay the second has to pay the third. And the Gemara is going to explain this entire process here. What I call the domino theory. Now the Sefer of the Bryce says, but im machmas Rishon Noflu, in a scenario in which everybody fell here because of the Rishon, he was the Gorem, is then Rishon Chayev Beniske Kulam, he has to pay for the damages of both the second, the one behind him, and the Shlishi, the one who's behind him. However, Vim his Hiru Zedzeh, if a person fell because he tripped, and now he warns the fellow behind him, Pturin, no one has to pay damages. In this case, the Nizek has to suffer the loss himself. My lav, shouldn't we interpret the Brisa thusly? Shlo hoyalahem lam. They didn't have enough time to get up. Because again, the Brisa is describing a really rushed situation. One guy fell, the other guy tripped, the third guy tripped. There was no time for anyone to stand up on his two feet. And therefore, this Brisa clearly indicates Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that even though a person is not a poshea benefiloso, nevertheless he has a responsibility and he'll have to pay damages because he didn't warn the guy behind him. So don't give me this story, as Rabbi Yochanan would have it, that he's tarud, he fell, he didn't have a time to get up. He should have warned the guy behind him. And that's why the Rishon after he fell and he didn't warn the guy behind this guy for the Sheni fell, didn't warn the third guy. And then the Braisa concludes him is Ziru Zed Zed, but if they warned each other, then they're all Potter. So Gemara says, no, that's not the case of the Braisa, and that's not a proof for Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, but rather, Shahoyalem Lama, they had enough time to stand up, and they're all therefore considered negligent for not standing up. They had to immediately stand up, almost instinctually, without having time to think. Oh, so Gemara says, wait a minute, let's clarify this. If you're telling me the reason why that chayav is because hayolem pnai lamod v'lo amdu is avalo hayolem lamod, my, what would be the din if they didn't have enough time to get up to him, and that would support Rabbi Yochanan? Ihochi, if that be the case, adetani seifa. The seifa has to introduce the case that they're part because his hero zed zeb to him. No. Why not talk about a case where they didn't have enough time to get up? You're saying that the chayav in the reish because they had enough time. Why weren't they moving themselves? Hey, lo is darzu. Then liflog v'listni b'dida. V'med v'amurim. When are they chayav? Is shahayolam lamod? Avalohayolam lamod p'turim? Why does this price has to stretch its arm to contrast it with a p'tur case in hayololahat in his hiruzetzer? They're potter in the case where, according to Rabbi Yochanan, they didn't have enough time to get up. Hakam mashman, again, what we saw before repeats itself now. The afagav, the hoyolehem lamod, even though there's a pshia in the fact that they didn't get up from the ground immediately, and you would think that's an automatic absolute machayev, ki ziru zed zepturin, they do have a way of wiggling out of the chi of nizakin, and despite the pshia, by notifying and warning the guy behind them. Amar Rava, with regard to this case, the domino case of Kadorim and Zgogim in this Braisa, even though it's clear from the Braisa and the Reisha that the first one who fell has to pay for the Sheni for the Shlishi, nevertheless, the Dinim are not the same, they're not identical. Rishon Chayav Benizke Sheni, Bein Benizke Gufo, Bein Benizke Momono, Sheni Chayav Benizke Shlishi Benizke Gufo, Avalo Benizke Momono. Notice here we have to ask the following question. When a person falls and he damages, what exactly is the nature? What's the Av HaMazik? Are we dealing with Adam HaMazik or are we dealing with Bar? And the Nafkamina is going to be whether you pay damages for Kalim. Clearly, in the case of Bar, you pay for Nizke Gufo. You don't pay for Misas Adam, but you pay for his Nizakim, as we've discussed in the past. But you don't pay for Kalim. Why is the Rishon Chayev here for the Sheni, whether it's Nizke Gufo or Nizke Mamono? And the answer is because the Rishon is a case of Adam HaMazik. Why is he considered Adam HaMazik? And the answer is because his goof damaged the Sheni. And the goof is Adam HaMazik. It's not called a bar. And therefore, if the kalim of the Shady were damaged as a result of tripping over the body of the Rishon, the Rishon has to pay even for kalim. That's not bar, that's Adam HaMazik. But Shady, there, it's a different story. Why? Because in the case of the Shady, we're dealing with a Chiyuv Mishum Bar. In other words, if nitkal ashlishi begufal shel sheni, the reason why the sheni is chayav for nizke shlishi is because of bar. Now, why is that so? The Gemara is going to right away ask. Miman of shach, you have to be consistent. You're right. I stand corrected. So let's go back to the drawing board and take it from the top. Omar Rav. Rav says the following. There is a difference between the chiyuv of the Rishon vis-a-vis the Sheni and the Sheni vis-a-vis the Shlishi. But not the way I said it exactly before, a little bit different, sorry. Rishon chayuv b'nizke Sheni, bein b'nizke Gufo, bein b'nizke Mamono. We're not talking about what happened to the Sheni. We're talking about how it happened, meaning how is the Sheni damaged. Oh. If the Sheni was damaged with the goof of the Rishon, by tripping over the goof of the Rishon, That's one case. The second case would be if he was damaged by the mammon of the Rishon. In other words, the Rishon fell, and both his body and his kelim now are dangerous objects that cause a damage. The Rishon has to pay nezikin to the Sheni, even if his kelim were responsible for the Sheni being damaged. If the Sheni tripped over the goof of the Rishon, then the Rishon is chayav even for nizkei kelim of the Sheni. As we said before, that's b'toras adam amasik. If on the other hand the Sheni tripped over the kelim, the mammon of the Rishon, then the Rishon is chayav mishum nizkei bar, and he's only chayav on nizkei gufo if the Sheni was bodily injured, but he doesn't have to pay for nizkei kelim if the Sheni tripped over the kelim of the Rishon and destroyed his own kelim, because that's bar, which is pater and kelim. However, says Rava, when we get to the nezek of the shlishi by virtue of the Sheni, in such a case, he's chayv only for nizkei gufo, meaning if he trips over the body of the Sheni. He's not chayv if he trips over the mammon of the Sheni, meaning the mammon of the Sheni does not have the status of a bar b'shus harav. And on that, the Gemara asks me, manafshach. Initkal posheahu, if tripping is considered a pshia, is sheni nami l'chayev, we should say that the sheni has to pay for creating a takola and for damaging the shlishi, even if only this damage happened through his mammon, because he was posheni, created a takola, a bar b'shus harav. If on the other hand, if niskal lav posheahu, if falling is not considered a pshia, then afilu rishon nami liftar, the first guy shouldn't be chayef in nizokin of the second guy. Even in the case where the second guy was damaged by the goof of the rishon, there still should be a potter because he was honest in the nefila. And therefore we have to find some logical explanation in Rava for his distinction. And that's what the Gemara is going to attack here and analyze on the top of Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara now assumes that Nitkal is Poshea. He should have been careful while he was walking. If he tripped, that's called negligence. However, that only explains the relationship between the Rishon and the Sheni. The Rishon that fell, he fell Me'atzmo, Beloshen Niskal Biodamach. In other words, he certainly is a Peshea. There's no one else who's responsible for the fact that he trips. He tripped on his own feet. Vade Posheahu, and therefore he's Chayev, whether or not the Sheni was damaged through his body, the body of the Rishon, or the Kalim of the Rishon, the Kalim of his bar. But Sheni is a little different. Why? Because it's impossible to find the Sheni guilty of the by virtue of the principle of Nitkal Poshea, because the Sheni tripped on the first guy. And again, the first guy was responsible for the Sheni's tripping. That's why he has to pay for the damages of the Sheni. Oh. Now let's talk about the relationship between the Sheni and the Shlishi. Why is the Sheni responsible for Nezikin of the Shlishi? After all, Niskal, in this case, is Lav Poshea. The Poshea was the Rishon, not the Sheni. And the answer is, Agufo Mechayev. He has to pay for Nezikin of the Guf of the Shlishi. And why is that? And again, when it comes to the Gufo, that means he pays whether the Shlishi was damaged, but Gufo is damaged, his Kalim were damaged. That doesn't matter because it's Gufo. And the answer is, the Havilo Lamod v'lo Omad, applying the principle of Rabbi Yochanan, the Sheni was delaying, he was procrastinating on the ground, and therefore he becomes a bar. Amamono potter. However, on the nezek that was caused to the shlishi, to his mammon, I'm sorry, on the mamon of the sheni that caused the nezik to the shlishi, potter. The omar le hai bira lav ana krise. In other words, I'm not responsible for creating this bar. It was the Rishon who created the Takola. I was onus in falling. Again, you could fault me for not standing up. And therefore my body, if it causes damage, is going to be chayav. And as far as my kalim, the Sheni says to the Shlishi, I didn't create this bar through any sort of pshia, through any sort of negligence. I only tripped on the Rishon. And therefore, I'm not responsible for creating the bar. And therefore, we cannot be mechayev the sheni on any takola that was created as a result of the fact that he tripped and fell over the Rishon. Meisvei, the Gemara is not happy with this from a brisa. And the brisa is the one that we discussed earlier about kedorim vizagogim, who are holchim zeh, achar zeh. It says, kulam chayovim, al nizke gufan. If their goof were, I say were in plural because I'm talking about all these zagogim and kedorim, were responsible for being mazik others, chayovim al nizke gufan upeturin al nizke mamonam. In other words, if their goof caused a damage to someone, whether it's a damage to his body or to his mamon, that's Adam HaMazik. The goof, as we said earlier, is Adam HaMazik. But as far as mamonim is concerned, if they were mazik, mamon shel acherim, al niske gufan, meaning, in all these cases, there's no chiv to pay for the nezik of the mamon. That's how the Gemara understands the price at this point. So if the mamon is mazik, there's no chiv. Now, you just told me, Rava, that the Rishon is responsible to pay damage to the sheni, even if the sheni tripped on the mamon of the Rishon. And that's because the Rishon was poshea, and therefore he has to pay for nezikin that were caused both by his goof and by his mamon, his kalim. And that's because Niskal is Poshea, Vahoyolo Lamod Velo Amad. Here the impression that you get from this Braisa is that there's no possibility of being Chayav for Niskei Kalim. Again, my Lav Afilu Rishon. Even the first guy who tripped and fell, and he was a Poshea, he's only Chayav for his body damaging, but not for his momentous Chayav. And that contradicts Rova. And perhaps the reason why he's not Chayav for his Momon that damage is because he's mafkir his moment when it breaks in the Rishus HaRabim. He's chayv in his kei gufo because hayulo lamod achar nefiloso. But as far as his moment is concerned, that's mafkir nechosov, and therefore he is potter. No, the Gemara says lola bar mi rishon. Again, there's a domino theory, and the Rishon himself, he was a posheh benefiloso, and therefore he's chayv for creating a bar. So if his kelim amazik, someone else, the sheni, then the Rishon has to pay the sheni. Ay, v'akulam k'toni. How could you say such a thing? The Braisa says, kulam p'turim al nizke mamonam. And that lashon of kulam certainly indicates that even the Rishon is potter from mamon. Amar av advarava kulam hanizokim. The word kulam is referring to the sheni and the shlishi, not to the rishon, meaning those who were damaged. They weren't posheb and ifiloso. They fell over the first guy who should have stood. But the rishon is not the nizak. He's called a mazik. He's a posheb and ifiloso because niskal poshea, and he's chayev for creating a takola. The Gemara says, "Hi, Mai. How can you tell me that the Braisa has in mind the Nizokim when it says Kulon? E Amrit Bishlema Afilu Rishon. If you're going to tell me that the intention, the meaning of the Braisa with the word Kulam is that even the Rishon, then I understand. Hainu de Ketoni Kulon. The Braisa had to use the word Kulon. Ela E Amrit Labarmi Rishon. Why is the Braisa deliberately ambiguous? And it means all those Nizokim, but not the first one who was Nitkal, Labar, the exclusion of the Rishon, My kulan, the language of kulan is not appropriate. Listen to anizokim. It should have said anizokim pturim binizkei mamonam. And as a result of this, Brisa, Rava retreats and rescinds his original position. Ela amar Rava. But rather, Rava says, based on this Brisa of kadorim and zagogim, we have to assume that a niskal lav poshea, that when you trip and you fall, the Brisa maintains you're not considered a poshea. And therefore, if you created a takola bar, you're not responsible for the creation of the bar. That's not a pshia. What are you responsible for? Hoyelo lamod velo amad. He had to make sure to stand up so that no one would trip over him. Therefore, the Rishon is chayev bein benizkei gufo. In other words, if the Sheni was injured or his Kalim were injured by the goof of the Rishon, and keep in mind, even though the goof of the Rishon, when he fell, that wasn't the Pshia, but the Pshia was Hoylo Lamod Velo Amad, that makes him into an Adam Amazik who has to pay for both Nizke Gufo and Nizke Kalov. That's as far as the Rishon vis-a-vis the Sheni. Again, if the kalim of the Rishon were mazik, then he wouldn't have to pay because he was mafkir nechasov and we're holding now niskalapo shelach nefilas onis. Now we want to understand the din and the relationship between the Sheni and the Shlishi. The Sheni was again a niskal berishon. He, like the Rishon, had time to get up, and he didn't get up. In procrastinating, dilly-dallying, he's chayav benizkei shlishi, but he's only chayav benizkei gufo. Why? Because his body now becomes a bar. This is the new chiddush of Rava. We haven't seen this until now. Avalo benizkei mamono. In other words, if the shlishi destroys his kalim when he trips over the gufo shel sheni, the sheni doesn't have to pay for that. My time of the havi lay because the guf of the sheni is a bar b'shus harabim. V'lo matzinu bar shechayvo es hakalim. In other words, basically what the Gemara is presenting is the following thesis. That Rava holds that even though a niskal is not considered a poshea, and therefore the Rishon is not a poshea in his nefila, but his pshia is the fact that after he fell, he didn't stand and get up on his 2 feet immediately. The Sheni likewise is a poshea in the fact that he didn't stand up immediately after he fell. However, the pshia of the Rishon is a lot more, shall we say, profound than the pshia of the Sheni. And therefore, even though you could be mechayev the Rishon for Adam HaMazik, and that's why he's chayev even if the kalim of the Sheni were damaged, but as far as the Sheni is concerned, his situation is not one of Adam HaMazik, but rather Barbish Sarabim, he's potter for kalim, he's only chayev in his ke gufo. And that's the way Rava sees a distinction between the Rishon and the Sheni. What's fascinating about Rava, and quite intriguing, in establishing the Rishon as Chayv Midin Adam HaMazik, because he should have stood, and he didn't. In contrast, the Sheni is a bar, because he should have stood, and he didn't. What's really the difference between the Rishon and the Sheni? Why is the Rishon considered more severe in his crime than the Sheni? Maybe because he started this whole chain reaction because he should have stood up and he didn't. But in any event, it's a very similar pshia between the two. The Gemara asks a different question, though. This understanding of the Braisa in Rava makes sense. Lishmuel. Diomar kol takola barhu. In other words, bar applies even if you retain ownership on the bar. And therefore, you could say that the goof of the Sheni can be considered like a barbish sarabim. A person is not mafkir his goof. El larav the omri afkare in ilo lo. That bar, by definition, has to be hefker. It's a chofer barbish sarabim. That's the paradigm of bar in the Torah. Here, how could you possibly assume that the body of a person is a bar and comes on the mamono shemazik? The Torah says that Yechayv Shem Bar, because it's not Mamono, it's a Barbish Saram that's Hefker, is Michael and Meimar. And now the Gemara is going to offer another interpretation of Rava so that Rava can be reconciled with the Shita of Rav. Li Olam Kida Omar Meikar. Let's go back to our original understanding of Rava. The Rishon is Nitkal Poshea. And therefore he's chayev, whether or not the damages were through his guf, and that's Adam HaMazik, whether or not his damages were through his mamon, because of Bar HaMazik, he was guilty for creating this bar when his kalim are a takola in Rishus HaRabim. Hashedi, but the second one again, he didn't have a pshia in Nitkal, because it was the first guy who fell, and he tripped on the first guy. The only thing that you could say about the Sheni is Hailo Lamod Velo Amad. He should have gotten up immediately. And therefore, he's not chayev for the Nezikin that were generated by his guf, Mishum Adam HaMazik. And therefore, the Sheni is potter on the Nezikin, he's only chayev, I meant to say, for the Nezikin that were done through his guf, and that's called Adam HaMazik, but he's going to be potter for any Nezikin that were done, that were instigated by his mamon that fell, because that's a case of Nefilas Onus, and he's mafkir is nechasiv, is hefkir nechasiv, lach Nefilas Onus is potter, there's no chiv bar. So again, the first guy is going to be chayev, because there was a pshia in his nefila, and therefore he cannot be mafkir his kalim. And his kalim now are a bar, and he's responsible for any zakin generated by his kalim. So this was the first pshat that we had in Rava. But we had a question from the Braisa. The kashalach. What do we do with the Braisa of Zgagim? It says, kulam chayovim al nizke gufam upiturim al nizke mamonim, which is mashma that even the first faller, he too is potter for any nezik that was caused by his kalim. Tirgumar of Ado bar minyume kamed ravina shahuzku kalim bekalim. It means that the kalim of the second one were damaged by the kalim of the first one, and in this case, the rishon is potter because he's not chayev for the damages of his mamon, except through the law of Bar, and Bar is potter for Nizke Kalim, and therefore even the Rishon is going to be potter here if Kalim damaged Kalim. In other words, initially we thought, when we interpret this Braisa, that Kulam Pturim, it means that the Rishon is potter even for Nizke Adam Begufo through the Kalim of the Rishon. And that doesn't make any sense because Bar is Chayav al Nizke Gufon. No, the answer is we're talking about a case where the Sheni's Kalim were damaged by the Kalim of the Rishon, and that's Bar, which is part of Nizke Kalim. Omar Mar, we had a Braisa that was quoted on Amud Aleph. Im machmas rishon naflu rishon chayv nizke kulam. What's the case in which the rishon is chayv for the entire domino, the entire chain? And the Gemara answers and explains machmas rishon hechi nafil. Rav Papa Amar de pasko li orche kishilda. In what situation? In what scenario is the rishon responsible for all those who fell? And the answer is that hifsik haderech kinevela. In other words, the first guy was chosem, the entire width of Rishus HaRabim. Like in this mushal, a case of the carcass that was thrown into the width of the road so that no one could pass by. And therefore he's chayef for the nizakim of all of them, because anyone who's going beyond him is going to trip as a result of the fact that his body is stretched across the entire width of Rishus HaRab. Rav Zvid Omar, Kichutra Desamyusa, like a blind man's stick, you know, which he uses Legashesh, which means he tries to figure out, you know, where the derech is and how to go. And sometimes he stretches it out on the entire width of the road, and there's no place for anyone to go by, and that's why the Rishon is Chayav Benizke Kulam. The Mishnah here on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amid Beis is going to address the case of two people who are going in the derech, and one was mazik the other. In such a case, in such a way, that we should pater both of them. And in certain cases, we should be mechayev one and not the other. Zeba b'chaviso, v'zeba b'koroso. We spoke about in the past, one person is carrying a barrel, and the other person is carrying on his shoulders a beam, and one goes into the other. Nishbra kado shel zeh b'koros shel zeh. The barrel of one of them was destroyed when it smashed into the beam of the other. Potter. No one has to pay anybody in this case. Shel azeh rishus lahalich v'lazeh rishus lahalich. There's no pshia here. Each one is walking, minding his own business, and he's allowed to do so. This one's carrying his chavis, this one's carrying his korah. However, the Mishnah continues, Hoya bala korah, rishon bala chavis, achram, v'nishpa chavis b'korah, potu bala korah, v'im amad bala korah, chayav. It's true that if the bala korah is walking, and the bala chavis goes into him and smashes his chavis, then the bala korah is potu. But if the bala korah stands, then he's chayav. If the chavis was broken because it smashed into the korah. But v'im amar, if the Baal HaKorah notified and warned the Baal HaChavis, Amod, please stand where you are, so you don't go into me, potu, that exonerates the Baal HaKorah. He doesn't have to pay damages, even though he shouldn't have stopped, but he warned the Baal HaChavis. Then the Mishnah continues, Haya Baal HaChavis Rishon, let's switch it around. The Baal HaChavis is going first. Balakora Achron, the Balakora is carrying the beam behind him. Nishbra Chavis Bekora. And here the Balakora, his Kora went into the Chavis and smashed it from behind. Chayav. The Balakora has to be very careful not to smash the Chavis, and if he does so through negligence, he pays damages. But Vim Amad Balakhavis, the Balakora walking in the back, does not anticipate that all of a sudden, you know, without any warning, the Baal HaChavis stood in his place, and the Baal HaKorah went into Potter. But v'im amar le Baal HaKorah amod, if the Baal HaChavis notified the Baal HaKorah behind him, stop, dead in your tracks, because I'm going to stop. Then if the Baal HaKorah continued walking and smashed the Chavis, he has to pay damages for the Chavis. V'chein zeba b'neiro v'ze b'pishtano. The same rules apply in the case where one person is carrying flax, which is very flammable, the other person is carrying a candle, and there was a contact between the candle and the flax. As a result, the flax was burnt by the candle. Here too, the same laws apply according to the rules that we established above. We'll stop here.